Good afternoon, everyone. Today with me, I have Eric. Eric is from the Unstructured podcast, and yes, you probably don't know what podcast I'm talking about, because the Unstructured podcast, the new podcast, Eric got into podcasting on his iPod. And for those of you who don't know what iPod is, it's just old music player, and at that time, podcasting was just up and rolling before we had all these podcast hosts and before we had the amazing podcast of Unstructured. So I'm going, Mr. Ed, take it away.
Hey, thanks, Wynn. It's great to be here. Yeah, that's an interesting point. I actually would say that I am a professional podcast listener, but a relatively new podcast producer. It took me 10 years to actually launch the show.
10 years? And why did it take 10 years to launch one of my new favorite podcasts, by the way? And I'm not just saying that to be nice, and I'm not just saying that because yours truly is going to be on X podcast. That podcast interview just got recorded this morning, by the way. And so why did it take you 10 years? Did you think the technology was too daunting or what?
No, it's a matter of nerves and then finding a subject and deciding what to do. If you study a lot about podcasting, and I'm sure you have, you need to niche down, most people would say. And you, for example, have a perfect niche. I think you're maybe the only person who has your particular market. Go ahead.
That's too true. Thank you very much for saying that, even though I'm trying to bridge the disabled world and the able-bodied world, which is not easy to do.
Oh, yeah. But it is very, very useful, because if somebody's looking about cerebral palsy, here's Wynn. Wynn's the one. Now, I was going to possibly do a running podcast several years into wanting to do a podcast. I think early on I wanted to maybe do an Apple podcast or a tech podcast like that, and I listened to all of them. But I realized that what could I offer that really wasn't already being covered? So I decided and just kind of stalled. Then I got into running. I was going to do a running podcast and realized then that while I enjoyed it and I studied a lot, I didn't think I could maintain it because I would run out of material and wind up repeating myself in my mind. So what I wound up doing was getting involved with a group called Mixed Mental Arts, and they're spun off the Brian Callen show, and they interviewed all these world-class authors and other people of that sort, and I was just blown away because I actually had read these authors. They're big names like Jonathan Haidt and other people. This was a miraculous find to me. I got involved with the community, and that sort of got my mind working, but many people in the community are much smarter than I am, and I thought, you know what, there's a place for me to create what I kind of consider to be an idea pub, where just normal people who are either really cool or they do really cool things can get their story shared.
Yes, and I shared an exclusive, I call it an exclusive, on my podcast with X, so you guys have to go listen to that podcast, because I'm not telling you what's going on in, well, you guys possibly know what's going on, but you don't know the whole picture. I have, Eric and I actually share a hidden disability, which we're not going to mention on this podcast. Hint, hint, you guys have to go listen to Eric and I speak on the Unstructured podcast, because I have a hidden disability that you don't know about. And so that I'm actually doing a podcast about. So there we go. This is my hint for the Unstructured podcast, and that's all I'll say about that. Now, Ed, what is your day job? Because I realize you do podcasting on the side, like we all do, like I do, and people know what my day job is. They know I'm in the admin side of education. And so what is your day job?
My day job is technically titled a Senior Business Systems Analyst. What I do is make sure that the financial systems are running correctly and payroll and all the other finance departments are able to perform their duties. Because if something goes wrong in the system, then people don't get paid. And if people don't get paid, they kind of get upset.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. You guys don't know this story, but at the, well, you guys don't know two stories. Two stories happen to be in the Bulbing paychecks, and now I'm able to tell them because they're part of my history. But I will tell you one. When we at my school got audited at one point, audited by the IRS, and I quickly learned that as the IRS is going through their auditing process, no one's allowed to get paid. And I mean no one. So I'm sitting there with all the rest of the teachers. We have no paychecks. And I'm like, well, this is great. And so I'm happy that you keep paychecks rolling at your company, because when people don't get paid, they get upset.
Right. And it's just a funny thing. You know, for some reason, people seem to need to pay their mortgage, buy groceries, and things like that. I don't understand why.
Oh, people, and people need to pay their journalism school fees, hint, hint. And journalism school is not the cheapest degree in the world. They say you'll get a budget-friendly degree, but when doesn't go get a budget-friendly degree, when goes all out, and because I'm doing the work that I love. So when you're not doing data analyst work, what do you like to do in your free time?
Well, pretty much I'm podcasting. I'd like to run more, but I just don't have a lot of free time, honestly, and I'm releasing 3 episodes a week right now.
Well, maybe you should cut that back down to 1 once you get, I shouldn't say it that because this podcast is coming out 3 days a week. So the advice I'm giving you, I'm not doing myself, but I have cut it down to where I interview people 1 day a week for the for the exception of this interview, but I have learned over the years of doing this podcast to, if you're not strong at something, try and hand it off to someone that is. I have an assistant and all my fan base knows this, who also has Sam Halsey, and I felt so bad that when I started this podcast, of course I wanted my BFF, in on the process. So, of course, she couldn't co-host with me due to she has a really heavy speech impediment. So I thought, why not give a gifted, challenged kid, she's a young woman now. Excuse me for calling her a child, but I've known her for 15 years plus, so I think I have every right to call her a child. But why not give a person with a different ability a job? So I gave her the job of scheduling. She's gotten so good at it that it magically appears on my schedule, and this is how we roll. And so I'm like, because if I was doing the scheduling and if I was doing the back and forth, I would go insane. I would literally go insane, and we don't want Wynn to go insane, especially when she's gonna do, when I'm getting my journalism degree. Going insane is not good. And
sure.
The next question is, if you had a dream interviewer, who would it be and why?
An interviewer or being interviewed myself?
See, I screwed up the question. See, a person that you wanted, there I go again, a person that you want to interview, that's what I meant to say.
Oh, okay. I can actually answer it both ways. And for some reason, I really want to interview Bert Kreischer. He's a stand-up comedian, and I've been chasing him for a while. I'm hoping I can. I have a few others that I really want to interview, like Robert Cialdini, Scott Adams. These guys are they're different, and they're interesting. Now, I'd say Tim Ferriss I would also really enjoy interviewing. Now, being interviewed, the big time would be to get on Joe Rogan.
Why do you say that? That's interesting because I know that Joe Rogan does a political-esque show, and I am just curious why you want to be interviewed by Joe Rogan.
I don't think he's political at all, and that's part of why I like him. He brings in people from all over the place, everybody from scientists to comedians, and he will bring in some political figures about both sides. He really is an amazing interviewer. He goes 3 hours at a pop. He does not edit it out or anything else because you can watch it on YouTube live. And that's a remarkable, remarkable talent.
That is. See, most podcasters, including myself, can't go 3 hours at a pop to one single interview. I would be bouncing out of my skin if I had to do one single interview for 3 hours at a pop. So now you've turned me on to Joe Rogan's podcast. I tell you why, because I thought another podcast that I listened to called Congressional Diss, which is completely political.
Mm-hmm.
It's what the Senate is doing wrong, basically. And this woman, Jennifer Barney, gave up her day job to do this, this political podcast. And it's a crowdfunded podcast, and it's a she has some very interesting ways. I interviewed her way back when, and I'm surprised she said yes to little old me, because little old me doesn't do a lick of political stuff. But she told me that Joe Rogan on her podcast was more political. Now I have to check it out. See, this is the problem with having an interview show. Now you give me another podcast to add to my queue. And so, because I'm old and dodgy when it comes to podcasting, in your eyes, what is the most difficult part in being a new podcaster?
Oh, it's easy. Being discovered, being seen, getting people to listen.
Growing your network. Aha. Well, basically, you're going to get a broken podcast feed once my interview comes out in a good way, because I've been at this so long and because people know my work. They like to follow me everywhere I go.
Good. I hope they stay when they come.
Good. So I have people in Japan listening to this podcast, and I thought, oh, the Japanese want to learn an English lesson no, they want inspiration out of me. I just figured that one out today, and I'm like, oh, well, that's cool. So
sure.
You're having a hard time getting discovered. Well, while on this call, if you have any questions for me on that topic, I can definitely try and answer them. I know you interviewed a voice, which I'm not giving away because I want you guys to go listen to it, a voice that we're all so familiar with that you guys may not understand the voice this person plays, and I was blown away, and I think you did a fantastic job with this person. And so getting discovered is the hardest thing. Well, you're on Podbean, and you know to put every, you know the elephant in the room is iTunes, and so
I'm farting on iTunes and personal journals.
I'm open to answering any questions you may have.
Yeah, I actually am charting in iTunes under personal journals. So I have some traction. And Podbean, they've been wonderful as a host. They actually are featuring me right now and have helped me get many listeners. But I'm just speaking in terms of, as a new podcaster, I am getting discovered and it is growing. But boy, those early days, like that first month, first couple months, just getting anyone to listen is tough. And it's still tough now. I have found that folks like you, and I'm very thankful, usually when they find the show and hear it, they actually like it. And they're often surprised, which I kind of laugh at.
Why would you be surprised that you interview-based podcast would be surprising to most people? I mean, I like the name. That's what drew me to you. Eric and I met on LinkedIn, and we talked about the power of LinkedIn. You guys should use LinkedIn like this done tomorrow for finding podcast viewers and listeners. And yeah.
Yeah, LinkedIn's up and coming. It really is.
LinkedIn is up and coming, and people don't realize what it is and how it's going to impact the podcasting space in a good way. And I send people my form, and they seem to respond. But as I said, what do you think? So you think getting discovered is going to be the biggest challenge? Well, getting discovered for me back in the early days, and 4 years and now people know what I'm doing.
Sure.
And so getting discovered for me was the toughest thing ever.
Mm-hmm. And actually, I should rephrase that and say, not just getting discovered, but getting people to listen. Getting them to listen to one episode. That can be a real challenge.
Yeah, because people don't know what a podcast is. They know my stepsister, and this is how millennial she is. And Glenn, I'm on the older side of millennial. The moment I told her my podcast was in Spotify, she goes, oh, great, send me the page so I can listen, which I need to do again, reminded to listen. And so this is why, and I was talking about this with Harry Durant, who runs Podcast Junkies,
sure.
And a huge shout-out to him because he's a phenomenal podcaster. He actually left the corporate career to do podcasting full-time. So shout-out to him and his podcasting. But I was talking to Harry Durant, and I was saying, millennials know about Spotify. The baby boomers don't know about Spotify, let alone Netflix, and let alone everything else. And people don't know about a podcast. When I say what I do as a content creator. Now, this is coming from me, who is a podcast listener, and they go, what? You have a what? Whereas if you said, I have a YouTube channel, they would understand.
Yeah, that's a challenge, though, because YouTube is both the platform and the content, and it's one place, much the same as Netflix. If you say, hey, it's on Netflix, well, then everybody knows they go to Netflix. When you say that you're a podcast, well, now you could be listening to the podcast on Overcast, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, as you pointed out. CastBox is another player out there. Swoop is new on the horizon, and I can keep going.
Yeah, we can keep going. And Google Home is another one. And there's A Lady in a Box by Amazon. That's another one that plays podcasts. And soon my cast, find an app that plays podcasts, people. And because I know I have gotten Lady in the Tubes by Amazon playing Ask Lynn. And so there's so many ways to skin this cat, which I think as podcast creators, we need to get the word out. And that being said, what is your favorite podcast that you like to listen to? It can be old, it can be new, it could be in between old and new, but what is your favorite podcast that you think needs the time in the spotlight?
You know what? I flip around on podcasts, so I'm going to pick one because I want it spotlighted. It's one of my favorites. It's like trying to pick your favorite child. I refuse to do it. So I'm going to take one that's not as big, but I think he's a tremendous podcaster and a great personal friend. It's called It's No Secret with Dr. T, and it's a great business podcast. And I can't stand business podcasts, so that should tell you something.
Uh-huh. Now you got my curiosity senses there, because I have two, not one, but two podcast catching apps on my phone. Yes, once you're a podcaster, you have to listen to podcasts, and this is how Eric and I started. Eric and I started listening to podcasts before we ever produced one. And so where do you see your podcast in the next 6 months?
I guess I'm really focused on just numbers and feedback. I really want to please people, you know, to grow my audience and have an audience who's passionate about the show. That is really my big goals. I'm on track. I may hit 50,000 in December or by the end of the year. And if I do, that'll be really remarkable. But that's what I want, is just to build the audience, build the show, find more passionate listeners.
Well, you have the one passionate podcaster listener in me, and I'm sure my team is going to be listening into on Structured when this podcast comes out on Tuesday. I'm certainly going to be marching over to Unstructured, because Unstructured is a newfound gem in my life. And I'm not just saying it to be nice, and not just saying it because you invited me on and interviewed me. I feel honored that you invited me on and interviewed me. But if you want to interview Eric, I would say to all the podcast hosts out there, you want to interview Eric on myself or make a phone call with us, please, 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 please listen to our work before you pick up a LinkedIn message and before you pick up the phone. I had a fan reach out to me via LinkedIn, and this fan actually scared me to death. He goes, can we please talk via phone? And I'm not kidding. We talked for over 1 hour today. I had to take them off my phone because I said I got to go interview. So, and we had a very insightful conversation when I listened to him to he listened to me. And he's actually coming on my podcast, and his stories that he told me via phone is incredible. One of them is incredible, and I'm going to make him share it publicly. But I said to him, please listen to my work before you hear my voice over the phone so you know what I'm dealing with here. And so I think that's the best advice for any podcaster. Just listen to their work just so you know the flow. Like, Eric has an unstructured podcast, and similar to mine, we let the conversations flow and see how we roll. But most people are so structured that it's not even funny, and that's one of the reasons why I think Eric and I made our podcast the way we did, because we were listening to those structured podcasts and we thought enough is enough. And so when you're talking to a podcaster and inviting them on, and I am a journalist, so I have more credit than you can shake a stick at, but I'm also a human being with cerebral palsy, so I think it's the best advice for those of you who want to interview Eric or want to interview me to listen to our work and get a feel for what our work is. And then if you don't like the podcast, you can unsubscribe. We're not asking you to stay loyal fans of the Unstructured podcast or the Ask Win podcast for that matter, but at least try one episode of the Unstructured podcast and then possibly invite Eric on or ask him to interview you. You never know what will surprise you in the podcast land.
True, true.
And I know
I've had
Eric
some amazing people.
I know Eric is good with me, and the podcast community is getting bigger every single minute, every single minute. So do you have any advice since you run, Eric, since you physically run, do you have any advice for getting headphones to stay in the ear? Because I know a lot of people run as they listen to me, or hike, or do whatever. So as they're pounding the pavement, do you have any advice for listening to podcasts while running, while physically running, or have you just listened to podcasts? I know you have to stay aware of the traffic, but there's certainly people that run that listen to podcasts. So help me out here.
Sure.
Figure it out. Teach me.
I can recommend a product that can actually cover both of those if people want to invest in it.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't have an affiliation or anything, but it's called Aftershocks, and they're what are called bone conduction headphones. They actually don't go inside the ear. They go in front of the ear, and they send sound signals through the jawbone so you hear. And it works really well with podcasts, because it'll actually sound like the person is inside their head. Now, what's cool about this is it's not covering up the ear, so you can still hear traffic and you still hear footsteps.
See, this is why I don't listen to podcasts on my e-bike. One, I have to pay attention where I'm going. Two, I just got the thing. So an e-bike is a whole new learning curve. Three, I can listen to podcasts and do stuff on my phone, but I can't listen to podcasts while I'm out and about. I actually did experiment, and I'll try it again. I actually, when I was getting in this car yesterday, I actually left my headphone in my ear and tried to listen to a podcast through my headphone in my ear, which my dad didn't even notice. He's so used to these headphones, he doesn't even notice. And he's the one that's given them to me. He gave me these Apple EarPods, which are small and they're difficult. And they're just, I love Apple. I love Apple, but they need to work on their earphones. But I was just curious about how you do with running and listening to a podcast, Eric, because I'm always curious. I know that people run and listen to podcasts, and my biggest fear is that they'll lose the Apple EarPods as they run on subway, and then they'll lose me, and I'll get the blame for losing the podcast or something.
I have the Apple AirPods, the wireless ones. I don't run with them. They don't fall out, but they dislodge slightly, and that drives me insane because I like a constant sound level. So I actually run with the Bose and other things.
They do. They do fall out of the years, and maybe when I get Tim Cook on my podcast, I'll talk to him about the Apple AirPods and see if he can help the runners out there, because you can listen to a podcast doing anything, anywhere, upside down. You can listen to a podcast and educate yourself. Unfortunately,
well, take a look into those aftershocks that I told you about. I think fit your bill.
My team take a look into them, because I need, even though I love the earpods, I need something different. And so, Eric, as we wrap this interview up, is there any questions you have for me about anything? I know you just interviewed me, so you probably got all the questions you have for me out.
I have one. When you wrote your book on your iPhone, did you use any particular software, or did you just use Siri and Notepad?
The funny thing is, and we did talk about this morning, and we did talk about the lady in the box, and the lady in the box, after we got off the podcast interview, the lady in the box and I had a field day. I was trying to type a text message, and she didn't want to listen to me speak it. So Siri, way back when, was worse than she is now, and I just use Siri with a lot of patience. Now, I can't use Dragon Naturally Speaking on my PC. Dragon Naturally Speaking, still, I have a problem with Dragon Naturally Speaking. Siri, I don't know what this lady in box, she understands me. She understands most people with a disability, except for the ones with a heavy speech impediment. So, yes, I used Siri, and then I compiled it in the Microsoft Word document, and then I which people thought I was nuts for, but at the time, and Amazon still lets you publish things unedited, which I thought, this is going to be a number one best-selling book, which it is, I thought I'd better get an editor.
Okay, now, but process-wise, when you speak into Siri, how do you say you want it stored? Do you say, hey, lady in the box, take a note, and then just start talking?
How I did my original book and how I did my other books is I use Apple's Notepad to do those notes, and I could jot down stories like this notes tomorrow in Apple's Notepad. I also have pages on my phone. I also have Microsoft Word on my phone too, so I can basically translate anything I want to say to the lady in the box via a notepad.
Okay, so you open like notes and then hit the microphone on the bottom right and start talking.
Yeah, because that's the safest thing to do. And I'm surprised the lady in the box hasn't said to me, "Do you want to write a note?" She'll probably say that in the next couple minutes as we're recording this. But because I have a iPad that's uncharged sitting across from me, and I've heard when I say, "Hey Siri," she'll go yes on my iPad. I'm like, oh my god, I was talking to myself. Anyway, that's how I do it, and I know you're buying a book, and when that book comes out, when that book is halfway decent, I would like to invite you back on, because I like interviewing authors and podcasters, and I like people in general. I'm the curiosity kills the cat journalist who's curious about people's stories.
Sounds great. Love to come back.
And where could the people find you? They could find instruction all over the place, but where could the people find you? I know you're on LinkedIn, I know, but do you have a website that people could go to?
My website's kind of garbage right now, so I'll just say I'm on the big three. By that I mean Facebook, Twitter, Instagram as Unstructured P, as in podcast.
Yeah, and you're on Unstructured Podcast on Instagram too. So please, this is my public service announcement on behalf of Ann. Please go listen to Unstructured, and please go give him feedback. Feedback. That's the most important thing. That's how you can help a podcast to say thank you and give us feedback, because we need feedback. We're not talking. Eric and I are not talking by a phone. I mean, 1,000 people will listen to this interview, and I'm not kidding when I say that, maybe even more. And so when you get featured, or when you take the opportunities, and now is the best time to start a podcast, and Eric can help you. I can help you. I can even help you more than Eric. And so I see a relationship of Amazon, Radio Tube, and all these podcast players coming together in harmony to play Unstructured. And how you can find Unstructured is on TuneIn. I know TuneIn works with Amazon, Radio Tube, and AskWin is on TuneIn. I know that. But it's under the butterflies of Wisdom Feed, so if you want Lady in Tube to play it, you have to go and install the TuneIn app on your Lady in Tube. And then she can play it, and then she can also play on Structured. If on Structured is in TuneIn, I don't know if it is. Yes?
It is. Yeah, I think I'm in every player.
Okay, so every player, Android, Apple, he's an every player. And so please listen to Unstructured, and please just go give Eric feedback, give me feedback, and let's get educated by podcast. And I hope you guys enjoy another fabulous episode with myself and Eric, and I will see you guys next week. Sorry, you guys, but there is a slight problem with my assistant going overseas, lucky duck her, and so they will only be three podcasts all coming out on Tuesday of Ask When, so don't be expecting any more next week. for me because my assistant is going overseas and we decided not to do a podcast due to the time difference of where she's going. And yeah, so you guys get Tuesday only and then you guys will have to repeat and then we'll be back as of November 13th, we'll be back to our normal schedule. And I appreciate Eric's time, and I definitely appreciate you guys' time. And please give everyone feedback if you can. And, yeah, just have a wonderful day, you guys. Thanks. See you guys. Bye.
Thank you.